I wonder what happened that day on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Mark leaves so much to our imaginations, which is what I love about Mark's gospel. He has a way of telling us just the facts, who went where, did what was said by whom, with little explanation or editorializing, and not much poetry, if what we expect from poetry is flowery, complicated language. Mark's language is pretty plain, and for that reason, some people find this gospel kind of bleak, maybe a little sterile. I find it energizing and mysterious. Ordinary language and plain talk speak to me. Take today's little snippet. Jesus comes to Galilee and recruits four fishermen to follow him. They immediately drop what they're doing, casting and mending their nets, the tools of their trade, and they followed him. Pretty matter of fact, pretty extraordinary, really. I wonder what happened that day in the hearts of Simon and Andrew, James and John. We know what they did, right? They walked away from what they knew, what they were good at, and they followed Jesus. James and John even walked away from their father. I picture Zebedee sitting in the boat with the hired hands, stunned, wondering the same thing that I wonder. Just what happened to these young men? He might have thought, well, they'll come to their senses soon, and they'll be back. He may also have thought, and when they do, there will be hell to pay. Or maybe he just shrugged, boys will be boys. We don't know. We can only speculate. But I've got a feeling that something big shifted in Zebedee's heart that day. Maybe it was hardened. Maybe it was softened. Maybe his heart was just shaken, and he didn't know quite what to make of it. But his heart surely was changed that day too, just as his sons' hearts were changed in their encounter with Jesus. Because that's what this little scene on the shore of the Sea of Galilee is pointing us towards, a change of heart, a change of mind, and a willingness to follow Jesus to an unknown destination. Simon and Andrew, James and John, they could have kept their heads down and gone on casting, mending their nets, plying their trades. Who could have blamed them if that's what they had done? That's what we all do most of the time. Most of us must work to eat, and we can't just up and walk away from our obligations to our families and those who depend on us, as much as we might like to at times. Who hasn't entertained that fantasy, just to up and disappear? But most of us don't. We stick around. We do the right thing. We behave responsibly with love as best we can. And that's a good thing. So it may be tempting for us to think, sure, these four young people, fishermen, could easily walk away from their menial jobs to follow Jesus. What did they have to lose? Well, maybe everything. Or rather than dismissing their sudden change of heart and their willingness, thinking, oh, easy for them, they didn't have much going for themselves anyway, rather than thinking that, we might think, if that's what it takes for me to follow Jesus, quit my job, leave my family in the lurch, it's just too much to ask. And I agree. It is too much to ask, and I'm not going to ask that of you. I'm asking if we can do something even harder. Can we have a change of heart and a change of mind and take off in a new direction, following Jesus' lead, not knowing exactly where the way of love might take us? We know the Jesus story. We know the whole thing. We know what we believe, or at least what we're supposed to believe. After all, we say the creed every Sunday. It's easy to say the words, though some of us stumble over them or refuse to recite them because they sound rote or even wrong. But my point is, whatever you believe, and everybody believes something, belief is easy. Following Jesus is hard. But following him is transformative. Following Jesus changes us, and it changes the world. Simon and Andrew, James and John didn't know the story as we know it, because they were characters in the story. They were players in the play of Jesus' work in the world. But their hearts were opened enough that day to set out into the unknown. Did they have a clue where this stranger was leading them? If they did, we're not told. Anyway, how could they have known what the future would hold? How can any of us? The last year has proven to us that we are not in charge of the challenges that come our way. We can only respond. Jesus came making a bold statement. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, that is, turn around, and believe in the good news. He followed that up with an even stranger promise, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. I'm not sure how much sense that last bit made to them, but amazingly, that's exactly what they did. They followed in faith to see what would happen. Although they had no idea where Jesus was taking them, we do. We know the story. He led them around the countryside and showed them the healing power of his love in real time, as we like to say today. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, questioned and challenged the authority of the religious and political powers of the day, and showed them that the kingdom of heaven was not some pie-in-the-sky idea or something inaccessible and grand that they had to wait until they died to be a part of. He said it, but more importantly, he lived it. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Turn around and look at it. It's right here. And that's good news. And that's news that I need to hear always, but especially now. Maybe you do too. It almost seems too simple, but today, hearing the message of the nearness of the kingdom, is it possible to experience a change of heart? To hear and see and act in new, loving ways, following the path of Jesus? Well, people of St. John's, I see you, and I know you, and I know your hearts are good. There's evidence of your kindness, love, and compassion all around us. I don't want to give you the impression that I feel like you aren't doing enough to spread your love throughout Jackson and beyond, because you do so much. You never cease to amaze me. We put out the word that the community needs winter coats, and we're overwhelmed with coats. We know that people are unable to keep up with their power bills, and you make sure that there is money available to help. You hear that your neighbor is sick or grieving, and you comfort them. I see you. You are following Jesus, spreading love. Here's a quote from Debbie Thomas. We don't follow Jesus in the abstract. We don't heed his call in general, as if Christianity comes down to nothing more than attending church or being a nice person. If we're going to follow him at all, we'll have to do it in the highly specific particulars of the lives, communities, cultures, families, and vocations we find ourselves in. We'll have to trust that God prizes our intellects, our muscle memories, our backgrounds, our educations, our skills, and that God will multiply, shape, and bring to fruition everything we offer up in faith from the daily stuff of our lives. And that is what you do. You fish for the people, and you share your catch. Keep it up. I've been thinking a lot lately about how if we follow Jesus, he usually leads us to surprising places. I'm pretty sure his followers were surprised when they ended up in Jerusalem. They followed him to the cross and finally to the empty tomb. But on the way, they learned to live life to its fullest. They made mistakes, and they did the best that they could. Jesus didn't ask them to be perfect. He asked of them something harder, to be fully present and to follow him because the kingdom had come near. Well, this is another epiphany story. Those people by the shore that day heard something in Jesus' word and saw something in him that changed how they saw the world and their place in it, and that was enough to change their lives, to set them out on a new journey. Maybe you've had one of those moments of epiphany when suddenly everything becomes clear, the veil of self-deception has dropped, or perhaps it was torn away, and you knew that something had to change, and that something was you. You saw the light, heard the call, and still didn't take that first step into the toward an unknown destination. And I certainly will not fault you for that. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the news and have ignored the call. It's so much easier to go on living my familiar life, to keep my head down and tend my nets, if you will. But maybe, like Andrew and Simon, James and John, you heard the call and set straight out. If you did, I applaud you. And I'm a little envious. Almost everyone I know has had to do some hard work to become a follower. As we like to say in the recovery community, when we're describing the work of having our hearts and our minds and therefore our lives changed for the better, we say, it's simple, but it's rarely easy. Here's where things get really strange. And a little hard to talk about. We rarely change our own hearts, even when we know that that is what we are called to do. What we do is we do the work, we follow, and we hope for the best. And this is where the Spirit comes in, to do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. This is God's grace. A holy mystery that cannot be explained, but that is undeniable. Almost every person that I've talked to who has had a true change of heart has testified to the experience. They followed and they found their way. The good news is that today is a new day in the kingdom because the kingdom has come near. It didn't come near only once in the person of Jesus. It is here and now. That's Jesus' message. Look around you and see if there's someone or something that needs your care and attention. I guarantee you that there is. That someone might even be you. Let's look up from our nets and set out on a new path, one that we can't be 100% sure where it's going to take us. I know that's more than a little scary, but it's also exciting. We don't go it alone, and we have a leader who will never let us down. Let's follow together. After all, what have we got to lose? Amen.